Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jim. Of course, it's always a privilege to be able to relay a portion of God's word to you. I'm encouraged just as much as everyone else to be able to participate and be able to worship with each other, although we're not face-to-face. I'm really honestly privileged, like I said, as mentioned before, to be able to give a portion of God's word to you. Today's lesson is kind of a piggyback of what Rick iterated the last 2 weeks. And as mentioned by Matt in the announcement this morning, there's a lot of doomsday things that we see each and every day we pop the news on. And for us, as Christians, we always should be encouraged to, rather than click on an icon that says this news channel, that news channel, open our scriptures or open the Bible app and read and kind of be in kind of this mindset of what we're shooting for on this earth, and that's heaven. And that's the title of today's lesson, is Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. For those who have just be going right off of those slides that I sent over to everyone, but this will kind of reassure you that the trials that we face, these are just temporary. And what's to be noted in the end is so much more worth it. So if you follow along with me, this is based off a hymn that we sing in our psalm book. And the first, I'm going to pick a couple of those lyrics. Often I'm hindered on my way, burdened so heavy I almost fall. When you look at the first line of that, often I'm hindered on my way. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? We're going to face people, we're going to face situations that's going to keep us from achieving the goals that we strive for as Christians. And a lot of times when we look at this, things that may hinder us on our path is finance. A lot of us have, as mentioned in our class I teach for the young adult, a lot of us have lost money on the stock market. A lot of people have lost employment, or they've suffered issues they've come across in their lives of medical expenses. And these things, they tend to burden us, they hinder us. And sometimes, as this pandemic has went on, they're out of our control. And you think to yourself, why do I dwell on these things? Because you look at Proverbs 23:4-5, it says, do not work hard to be rich. Stop trying to get things for yourself. When you set your eyes upon it, it is gone. For sure, riches make themselves wings like an eagle that flies for the heavens. We put effort and time into things that don't matter. Such is the next thing, and failure. This is another thing that will cause us to be hindered on our way. Because these are things that we face during our lives that we can't. We sometimes can't get ahead. Either a bad moment. Sometimes a person will say something to us. We think we've done a great job, and they criticize us. And so we, instead of looking at trying to make that being optimistic about it, we take a step back and we don't want it allows us not to achieve our abilities that God has given us. And what happens is, instead of helping the church, we don't use those talents. We bury them. And this is a thing that hinders us. But in Matthew 10:24-31 says, a father is not greater than his teacher. A servant who is owned by someone is not greater than his owner. A follower should be happy to be as a teacher, and a servant who is owned by someone should be happy to be as his owner. If they have called the head of the house Satan, how much more will they speak against those of the house? Then do not be afraid of them, for nothing is covered up that will be brought out into the light. There is nothing hid that will not be made known. You tell in the light what I tell you in the dark. You must speak with a loud voice from the roof of houses what you have heard. Do not be afraid of them who kill the body. They're not able to kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two small birds sold for a very small piece of money? And yet, not one of the birds falls to the earth without your father knowing. God knows how many hairs you have on your head, so do not be afraid. You are more important than any small birds. The next part of this talks about him, burden so heavy I almost fall. I know for myself, when I became a Christian, and I know people probably think this, that once they obey the gospel, that this is good. It's all smooth sailing here. Things won't happen to them. Things don't come up. Christians will face burden. Paul, in his work for the Lord, 2 Corinthians 11:26, and journeys off in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils among countrymen, perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He suffered all these things. And you think about that, you're just like, what can I do that Paul had subjected to him that would affect me? Because I can tell you for myself, in perils of water, I'd been done. I was scared to death of water all my life. And here's something that he encountered. And you know what? He kept with it. He suffered. These are burdens from him. Also, physical ailments, as mentioned by Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. A lot of you suffer. You have things that you over, I mean, either it could be walking, it could be eyesight, it could be your health, it could be you've taken more pills than you know what to do with, you've had to take treatment. These are all things that you think, oh, I can't get through this, but you can. Because, and there's other things that people suffer with that are burdens to them. Some of them being greed. Some of them being uncontrollable temper, a guilty conscience, envy, covet, lust, pride. These are all burdens that you carry with you each and every day of your life. It's always in the back of your mind that you have to overcome. If you look at Job in 7:20, it says, have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? What have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? And I think about Job, and that's the time when he was talking about, because we had the privilege of understanding the whole story about Job. We know what happened to him and why he was put through that, but at the time, Job didn't. But knowing that God really gave him the opportunity to show what kind of person he could be and what kind of example he was for us as Christians. Many people were never given that opportunity, as Job was. But we have to look at the optimistic part of that. He overcome. Next part of this hymn says, after this life with all of its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. After this life with all of its strife, strife can occur in all walks of life. Some of us have incurred strife just from a school. Our youth days, the school days, being bullied by people. Others have had issues with family, brothers and sisters. Others, career, they had a person that had to go to work. They couldn't handle their boss. They couldn't handle their work companions. And it was constant strife. It was always bickering, always some kind of resentment between each other. Others, the strife that you worked all your life, then all of a sudden you lost it. You lost your pension. All of a sudden you lost your spouse. So you will incur these things. Also, and if you look at the early church with Diotrephes and 3 John, and starting 9, I wrote to the church, the Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. You see, in the early church, they had issues and strife to deal with. It's not always smooth sailing for us. Because this world we live in today is mentioned, I think about this verse in Micah 7:1-8. Because listen, and I want you to listen to what took place this many years ago. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruit, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. That they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. The great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall there be perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth. From her who lies in your bosom, your son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. These are the things that you need to put your faith on, is the Lord. Because you look, a lot of people in life will let you down. But the Lord won't. When, especially when you're suffering and strife. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. We see this. We see these people. These are things that cause us strife. If you look at strife, you look at the issues that you suffered with in your life and the people you've been around, these are things that kind of be a direct catalyst for that kind of behavior. But when you look at the things of why do we suffer through these things and what to look forward to, heaven will surely be worth it all. Because when you look at the word surely, it means with assurance and confidence. Heaven is worth it. And here's some reasons why it is worth it. Jesus is there. Acts 1:11. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. A couple years ago, we went to a baseball game. And that's a professional game. A lot of us, when we go to a professional game, we look for a certain player that we know will help us really enjoy it. Well, it just so happened when I got there, he wasn't playing. And there was utter disappointment for myself. It was just all this excitement that I had noted to get up and really wanted to go to the game. It was just depleted after that. And I think about that a lot for us. He is there. The greatest example, the most important person we ever wanted to come in contact with and ever wanted to meet, he's going to be there. There is no disappointment. Also, it will be home. Philippians 3:20-21. For citizenship is in heaven, from which we are also eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that we may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he has been able to subdue all things to himself. When you think about this, for myself, when I was away at college or when I was away for work, when you take that step into your house after you've been away for 5 days or 2 weeks or whatever, it's amazing the difference of comfort and joy that brings you when you walk through those doors and you see your family. And that's what heaven's going to be like, because you're going to be united with your family. You're going to have this comfort and peace. It's not going to be visiting. You're not going to be passing through. It's going to be a place you're going to put your feet, and you're going to stand there, and you're going to be able to praise and be with that family you always wanted to be with forever. And last of all, it's perfect. 1 Peter 1-4 says, to inherit the incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I bought a house about 4 or 5 years ago and got the house done. I was like, oh, man, this is great. Got everything worked. Everything's accomplished. Everything we wanted to do. And talked to my wife, and she goes, hey, I want to redo that room. This was 6 months after that. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Because for one thing, in this life, a lot of things are never perfect. We're always happening to eat because that's what we're told. It's going to rust. It's going to fade away. These things all will go away, but heaven doesn't. It's always there. Maybe you can see this or not, but this is, I sent this out, but what this is a picture of Clingan's Dome. And, every time I go to Tennessee, this is always on my mind to go up there and to visit this. And what it is, it's the highest mountain in the Smokies in there. And what you do is it's observatory. You go and you walk up. It's about a half mile climb, 13% grade, an hour walk straight up. So not only can't you breathe by the time you get up there, there's hardly any oxygen. And every time I go up there on the left, if you're able to see the picture, there's supposed to be this beautiful sky. You're supposed to be able to see 2 miles. But when I get up there, all you see is it's foggy. You can't even see your person next to you. And I always think about this, and I'm like, is this worth it? Should we go do this again? Because I don't know if it's going to be good or not. And that's kind of what we put in the back of our minds. Like, whenever we're faced through these trials and these things we have in this life, just remember, the work that you put in this life for the Lord, it ain't going to be. It's always going to be on that left-hand side. You ain't going to have this dismal look and these dismal thoughts thinking, this wasn't worth it. There is so much to be looking forward to for Christians. In conclusion, because of Christ's death and resurrection, we can say this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. When you think about this virus, and you think about all the things that happened to you, and who's going to suffer, and who's going to die from this, you look at this. Paul was kind of mocking death at this time. He knew that there's nothing the devil could do to him. He knew that Christ overcome this power that the devil had over sin, by using death. And that's the way we should look at this as Christians. We should look at this as, you know what? We are going to a better place. I have this assurance. This is what we conclude. In Hebrews 10, 32 through 34, I want you to think about this, because this is the people we're struggling with today, and the epidemic we're struggling with, kind of goes back to this verse. It says, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were treated. For you had compassion on me and my king, and joyfully accepted the plunder of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You see this Hebrew writer, he suffered these things, and they suffered these things, whether it was in by gladiators, whether it was in just being tortured as first early Christians. They suffered too, in many different ways. But if you look at the last part of that verse, they have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. They got through it because they knew that heaven was awaiting for them. And that's the way we need to look at our lives, because heaven is surely worth it all. If you're in need of baptism, I myself, the elders, the deacons, would love to assist you this day. If this hasn't been on your mind, with all the things that go on in this life, we think this should be an eye-opener for us, how our current state is, how our spiritual state is right now with God. Baptism is essential for us for salvation. Also, if there's a sin in your life and you would love for someone to pray for you, we encourage you. Pray for yourself. Also, or get a hold of someone that they can pray for you, or one of the elders of the congregation. Contact them at this time that they can help you with this sin in your life, so you can have that blotted out and get back on your right track with God. I'll now turn the services over to Brother Zach.